Today on the Rising Coaches Podcast.
It's twofold. I think obviously we've got to have some representation on the administrative role in order to hire people of color, but also thinking, making sure that once you're an assistant coaching spot, that you're not being pigeonholed into just being a recruiter and a babysitter.
Lack of effort's a problem. Like, if you can't play hard with your boys on a Saturday afternoon in an AAU tournament, like, you're probably not going to be able to play for us, right? But if you're a 30% guy from three and we need you to be a 38-40% guy, like, I'll take that. We'll work with you on that.
Today on the Rising Coaches Podcast. Thanks for listening to the Rising Coaches Podcast. This is Adam Gordon. And today we're joined by Alabama assistant coach Brian Hodgson. Brian is one of the best recruiters in the country, and we spend most of the conversation talking about his journey, but diving right into the good stuff of how he evaluates, how he recruits, and what makes him so unique. And part of it, which he's very transparent about, is the fact that he's able to really focus on that task. Does he do more? Does he coach? Does he scout? Of course. Does he game prep? Of course. But his relationship with Nate Oates is unique in that Nate allows Brian to be on the road and focus primarily on recruiting talented players that fit their system so that they can go and win ball games. You can't win unless you got players that fit your system and good players that fit. And Brian does that better than anyone in the country. Some great gems in this conversation. We hope you enjoy. And please write us a review and follow along with what we're doing at risingcoaches.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by the Rising Coaches Association, the biggest coaching tree in all of basketball. Sign up for the Rising Coaches Association now for just $120 a year and become part of our community, relationships, and development. We talk about it all the time. There's no straight lines in this profession. There's only ups and downs. You need a community that knows exactly what you're going through and has been there before to help lean on during the rough times of the industry. You need genuine relationships, not just exchanging numbers, not just meeting new people at the Final Four in the off season. You should be doing it all year round, and we provide tremendous opportunities to create those genuine relationships all through the year. And finally, development. We have so much content and so many resources so that you can work on your craft and become a better coach. Because we put such a premium and an emphasis on helping you establish new, genuine relationships, it takes all of the political BS side of the business out of the equation for you. All of that gets removed off of your plate. You can just worry about being you, making new friends in the business, and working on your craft and becoming the best coach that you can be and impacting the people that you're around on a daily basis. For more information, visit risingcoaches.com/membership. That's risingcoaches.com/membership. What's up, everybody? We're live here on the Rising Coaches Podcast, joined by Brian Hodgson today at the University of Alabama. Brian, what's up, man? How are you?
Good, man. Good. Just finishing up week two of workouts with our guys, and life is good, man. A little bit of normalcy back.
Yeah, it looked like you just came from your own workout. Got a little sore.
I did, man. I'm trying to get back on it. I let it go for a while, and so now I've got to make up for some lost time. But
yeah. So what were some of the big things you learned from the JUCO route?
So I think the biggest thing was a work ethic. Literally practice is over and guess what? I got 2 hours worth of laundry to do. And then B is just be appreciative of the resources. It drives me nuts when guys complain about the resources of where they're at. You know, you took that job, you knew what you were walking into. I can't win here. That's not true. You know? That's something that I want to never be a part of. I'm going to be appreciative no matter where I'm at.
How did that like go down? What was the connection there? And man, basically, how'd you get that job?
Craziest story ever. So Bobby Hurley was the head coach at Buffalo. Nate was his assistant, along with Levi Watkins, who's now at Ole Miss. Bobby, Nate, and Levi, the combination of the three, were constantly getting down to Midland, checking us out in jamborees. I had two or three kids that they really, really liked. And so they had made it down to Midland three or four times. I'm born and raised in Western New York. I'm from Jamestown, about an hour south of Buffalo. So I developed a relationship with those guys. And long story short, Bobby got to a point where Bobby was going to hire me at Buffalo. He called me. Our season had just ended at Midland. Bobby said, hey, you know, I want to offer you a job at Buffalo. You know, you're going to be an assistant. You know, I'll give you some time to think about it. And I was like, well, I don't need any time to think about it. A, it's Division I, and B, that's my hometown. So we were kind of working out the fine details of how things were going to work and getting me up there and the whole deal. All of a sudden, Bobby takes the job at Arizona State and couldn't take me with him. So, you know, I had already resigned at Midland. So here I am without a job. Well, the one thing that I made a point to do during that whole process was build a strong relationship with the other two assistants, Nate and Levi, who were coming down. And so I built a really good relationship with Nate. I mean, we were talking on the phone every day. So Nate gets the job on April 11th, which was my birthday, calls me, says, hey, they're going to hire me here to replace Bobby. I'm going to be the head coach. I'd still like to hire you. And, you know, he basically put one stipulation on it, which was, we have 5 scholarships. You better go fill them. So that's kind of how it all worked out, man. And we went to the tournament and NCAA tournament in year one, and the rest is history.
So, Brian, talk about that. You talked about you built a relationship. You know, a lot of people come in contact with different coaches, and they were in your gym recruiting your guys. Yeah. And that's one thing. And to get to know them is one thing. But, like, to strengthen that relationship to the point where they trust you, where they want to bring you in on their staff, that's a whole nother skill set. I mean, talk a little bit about that, like how you're able to break through that barrier.
I think, to be honest with you, I think, and this is the best advice that I can give to guys that were in that situation, is I think that Nate recognized that there wasn't anything that I wasn't willing to do. And that stems from my junior college background. So I think that Nate was looking for guys that could relate to him, his work ethic, his blue collar mentality. You know, Nate's the head coach at Alabama, and 6 years ago was a high school math teacher at Romulus High School in Detroit, which is unheard of. So he was only 2 years into Division I, and I think his biggest thing was, hey, I need guys that are going to work for me that are willing to do what I'm going to do. And that's sweep the floors to recruiting, to scheduling, to whatever it takes to win. We had the same competitive drive. He's one of the most competitive guys I know. And you know, we kind of hit it off right away. I mean, there was a million guys that Nate could have called and given that job to. Nate's a relationship guy, is very close with a lot of people, but I think that we connected on the same level as far as work ethic. And then most importantly, kind of like I mentioned earlier, I told Nate, I said, listen, I'm from Buffalo. There's no reason why we can't win there. And he knew that I really felt that and believed that. And I think that's why he wanted me on board. I think as a head coach, you want a staff that 100% believes that you're capable of winning where you're at.
That's always kind of been your forte, right? Like recruiting, obviously you do everything just like everybody, but like it seemed like the staff dynamic was he let you go get players and not have to worry as much. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but you didn't have to worry as much about some of the other stuff. That was your main focus. Is that pretty accurate to say?
Yeah, it is 100%. And, you know, what happened was we built such a trusting relationship that his mentality was, I trust Brian's eye and his evaluation and his opinion on recruiting. So if we streamlined it to the point where I'm just going to send Brian, he's going to go do his deal. This is what we need, Brian. This is what, you know, what I'm looking for. We're on the same page. Let's streamline it so we can have the most possible guys at practice every day. And we can be most effective in recruiting with our budget. So he would know I'd leave. And there was times at Buffalo, I'd leave on September 9th and I'd come back 3 weeks or 4 weeks later, because what I would go make my junior college rounds. I'd do the whole Texas swing, the whole Florida swing, the Kansas swing. I'd kind of come back. We'd have an idea from the summer of who we wanted. We'd kind of go from there. We had that thing down to a science at Buffalo, and everybody contributed. I think that's why we were so successful at Buffalo. I appreciate your comment about being a good recruiter, but to be honest with you, it comes from working for Nate. He recruits like an assistant. When I need him to be all in on a guy, he's all in. And the reason is we're kind of on the same page. And that success has continued here at Alabama. We hired Antoine Petway, who in reality is probably one of the best recruiters in the country. I mean, we're talking about guys like Colin Sexton and John Petty and Kyra Lewis. He brought those guys here to Alabama. So I've learned a lot from him, and we quickly got on the same page. And I think that's the biggest thing in recruiting is I see too many staffs with like tension, you know, tension between, now we got to get my kid. We got to, that we don't have that. You know, we've got to get the guy that Nate's excited about that fits the way we play. But yeah, that's kind of always been my niche, my role. I've always been a people person. I think that's the biggest thing. And I enjoy doing it. You know, recruiting's not work to me. I enjoy the chase. I enjoy evaluating guys and finding guys that fit our system. It's exciting to me.
So do you feel like it's like, why don't more staffs do that? Why don't more staffs have like one person who can just like, I feel like it just makes everyone's life easier, no?
Yeah. So, you know, that's a great question. I want to speak on that. I'm so glad you asked that because, and we don't, here at Alabama, we, you know, Petway recruits a ton too, but I will say this. So many people are worried about being pigeonholed, right? Like the old deal, like, oh, you don't want to be labeled as a recruiter, or you don't want to be labeled as just an X's and O's guy. Right. Or just you don't want to be stuck in the ops spot and be labeled as just a great ops guy. Well, to be honest with you, I think there's some falseness to that. So I did. I was a part of the Top Connect this year. I did it last year and this year, and it's been great both years. I did the mock interviews this past year and you know, a couple different ADs at different levels, brought that up to me. They say, you know, I kind of talked to them about how I didn't want to be labeled as just a recruiter. And I promise you, three out of the, I think I did six mock interviews, three out of the six ADs said, wait a minute, why? Recruiting is what this is all about. Like as ADs, we're not going to hire somebody that can't recruit, because you can be the best coach in the world, but if you don't have players or guys that fit your system or guys that want to be at your school, you're not going to win. And you know, when it comes time to do the interview and it comes time to you know, move over 18 inches into that chair, well, you got to prove you can do those things. But my opinion, be the best you can be at whatever your role is with your staff. And we, you know, Charlie Henry's on staff here. X's and O's, why? I mean, he's one of the sharpest dudes I've been around. We're the same age, and he spent 5 years in the NBA. He's with Fred Hoiberg at Iowa State. Nate's a high level offensive and both defensive X's and O's guy, big analytics guy. You know, Adam Bowman. Adam Bowman's one of the best in the country. He's been the ops guy for us going on year six. Adam could easily be an assistant coach anywhere in the country and be unbelievably successful. So our staff is great. So I try to stay in my lane a little bit, you know, and provide input as much as I can in the other places. But if I go all in on recruiting, I think I can benefit our staff a ton. And I'm still at practice every day. I'm still working the guys out. I'm still watching film and doing scouting, but my main focus is recruiting. It's like any successful company. Everybody has their role, and you've got to be really good at your role. And so I don't know why it's more staffs don't do that. You know, you see it, and they have tension. There's all this tension, like, now I got to get coach to see my kid. We don't have that here because we're literally all on the same kids. And I think that's what's allowed us to be successful.
If you told me my only job was to like focus on scouts, like I would do a better job because that's where my attention is. And number two, I would probably enjoy it because I don't have 50 different things going on in my brain. Like I can zero in on one task. It's funny, Brian, like, I've talked to a lot of, especially this last year being out of coaching, I've talked to so many people about that topic. Like, is it best to be well-rounded or is it best to be a specialist? And almost every single coach I ask says be well-rounded. Almost every single AD or search firm representative or agent says to be a specialist. So it's a really interesting divide there.
Yeah. And I think a huge part of it goes back to your boss. What does your boss want? And the most successful programs I know, they've got some specialists, man. Like, it's just, I mean, we had that thing down to a science at Buffalo, and we're getting there here, but Jim Weitzel ran our defense. We were top 10 in the country defensively. Jamie Quarles ran our offense. We were top 5 to 10, you know, depending on the 2 years, offensively in the country. And I ran our recruiting, and we had a lot of talent at Buffalo. So we all had our, we specialized in our certain areas, and we would all assist each other in those areas as well. All three of us were involved in scouting. Here's another very interesting thing that we do that a lot of other schools don't do. Every single assistant does every scout. So all three of us do every scout, and we break it into offensive, defensive, personnel, and special teams. And we adopted that at Buffalo in year three, and we had a lot of success that year, year three and four. We won an NCAA tournament game both years. We were 14th in the country year four. And Nate adopted, I forget who he got it from. I think Adam actually, at Bowman, brought it to the table. I think maybe the Purdue guys did it. But what we found was nobody was out of the loop. Everybody was invested into that game. And a lot of times with me being on the road as much as I was, I would take the personnel and special teams, right? I can do that from anywhere. Whereas if you're doing the defensive or the offensive side of the ball, you've got to be at practice to walk the guys through some stuff. And we it worked really, really well. So we did. We got that thing down at Buffalo to specialized areas, and we were rolling, man. And we're getting there here. I mean, it's – we have a lot more staff members here. So I think that's the biggest thing about making a transition from the MAC to the SEC is, like, I think we have like 17 people on staff here. And like, when I first got here, I'm like, hold up, what do all you guys do? You know, 4 years ago I was at Midland. There was just me and my head coach. So which is interesting for sure.
But yeah, kind of like, how do you know when someone's the right fit for what you guys are looking for?
Yeah, that's a good question. Here's what I'll say. It's you have to recruit to your system and your head coach. And it's so crazy. We're doing a recruiting Zoom the other day with a kid, a 2021 kid. And actually, I'm sorry. Yeah, 2021 JUCO kid. So, but he's a JUCO guy. So we're kind of going through the success that we've had with junior college guys. And we pull up a slide, and it's kind of, you know, what JUCO guys did while they were at Buffalo. And we have two of them here, but they haven't played for us yet. So we're going through the guys we had at Buffalo. And one of them was Montel McRae. All right. So Montel McRae played at South Plains and on one of the best teams in the country for one of the best junior college coaches in the country. I mean, Steve Green's a Hall of Fame guy, had a lot of good players. I think Montel played like 18 to 20 minutes a game at South Plains. Maybe I think he was under 10 points a game, made zero threes in 2 years at South Plains. And we took him at Buffalo. He started for us. He won two NCAA tournament games and has probably the highest combined winning percentage of any player to ever play at Buffalo, and hit 43s in 2 years. And so what I'll tell you is we beat out Youngstown State to get Montel McRae. No ACC, no Big 10, no Big 12 schools. But when I went and watched Montel, I saw a 6'10 kid that could literally run like a guard. And we're one of the fastest teams in the country. So I have to recruit to our system. And I think that's the biggest mistake I see people make. And trust me, I make mistakes too. We all do. But like I know how a team plays, right? We know how everybody plays. We've been in this long enough. And you'll see like a team that plays fast recruit like a kid that belongs in a system that walks the ball up the floor. And they do it just because this kid's ranked here or someone else in their league offered him. We've gotten away from that. Like we're every year we're top 10 in the country in tempo. So to play for us, you have to be able to get up and down the floor. And so I think that's the biggest thing is evaluating that, you know, can they play at our pace? And then will my boss like them? There's kids out there that are top 50 in the country that my boss would not want to coach. And I know that I've been around them long enough. Like you've got to have, you've got to have it on both ends of the floor. And, you know, we that's kind of one thing that made us good at Buffalo is we got a lot of guys that were two-way guys. And too often people are looking for a finished product. I'll say this to answer to sum up the evaluation piece. They have to fit into your system, and B, the faults that they have or the deficiencies that they have must be things that can be fixed in the gym or are coachable, right? Lack of effort's a problem. Like if you can't play hard with your boys on a Saturday afternoon in an AAU tournament, like you're probably not going to be able to play for us, right? But if you, you know, if you're a 30% guy from three and we need you to be a 38, 40% guy, like I'll take that. We'll work with you on that. If you're, you know, if you need to tighten up your ball handling, that's something we can fix. So we're willing to kind of take those type of deficiencies and we're not willing to sacrifice in the other areas, you know, character or toughness or just guys that don't play hard. We're not going to do it. You know, we're not buying into the, well, when he gets to college, he'll play hard. Probably not. It's a little harder at this level. So if you can't play hard at that level, I mean, I don't know what all of a sudden is going to go off in your head and make you play hard when practice is an hour and a half longer and your boys aren't next to you anymore. So it's all about fit.
I've noticed that about you when we've like watched games together. You seem to go right to the guys who are like vocal on defense, who like look like they're really into like the game and competing. Obviously, that sounds like such a simple thing, but people overlook that all the time. Yeah, don't they?
I'm a firm believer that a lot of the game is won before the ball even gets tipped up, man. I think that I think it's won in practice. I think it's won in character and then just toughness. Like if I'm going to be out there, I'd rather have a group of five dudes that I know are going to take charges, dive on the floor, that are going to fight for you for 40 minutes than, you know, the guy that's a knockdown shooter but refuses to get a rebound. Coach feels the same way. So we've been lucky, and there's enough of them around. There doesn't have to be a number by their name. We signed one top 100 player at Buffalo, and that was our last year there. They were being recruited at the mid-major level. They just fit us, and they were tough, and we won with them. Let's stay on that real quick. All right, any young coaches that are watching this or will watch this, this is unbelievable, Adam. Our ops guy, Adam Bowman, is now in his sixth year with Nate Oates. All right, so it was all four with us at Buffalo. He's here in the SEC at Alabama with us under Nate Oates. He is the best ops guy in the business. I'll argue that with anybody. The reason why he's with us is word of mouth from you. So my first recruiting trip at the University of Buffalo was to Los Angeles to Brad Winton's Availables event in L.A.
I didn't know it was your first one. That was my first recruiting trip as well at SEMO.
That's my first ever Division I recruiting trip. Got on a plane, fly to L.A. By the way, I had two big pickups there. One being Blake Hamilton, who was unbelievable for us at Buffalo. Two being Adam Bowman, who's the best ops guy in the country. So me and you were talking. You were talking, you know, hey, you got the job. Congrats. You know, who you got? What do you guys need to fill? And I said, actually, we literally are trying to find an ops guy. And Adam says to me, the guy that I just worked with at Mississippi State's unbelievable. Works his butt off, does this, this, and this. He's the most organized guy I've ever been around. He's unbelievable with technology, video, whatever you need, this guy does it. I've never met Bowman in my life. I call Nate Oates. I said, Nate, hey, I just ran into Adam Gordon, a guy that I trust his opinion. He says that we need to talk to this guy, Adam Bowman. Nate literally calls Adam that day, flies him in 2 days later, offers him the job. The rest is history. And the cool thing about that story is the guys that work hard, put their head down and do the right thing, it works out. And it worked out for Adam, you know, and which is unbelievable. We talk about it all the time. I didn't know him. Nate didn't know him. But because he had done so well for you guys at Mississippi State, we called him. We hired him 2 days later, which is pretty cool. And I think is a pretty good story for young guys in the business to hear and gain some insight from.
What are you doing to stand out, you know, both personally, like you, Brian, and also like representing your program on the recruiting trail?
The biggest thing is I'm doing what the kid tells me to do. And I can't stress that enough. I mean, Jeremy Harris, junior college transfer, number two player in the country. He's got Big 12 offers, ACC offers, SEC offers. We get him at Buffalo. The reason why we got him is he made it known to me from the start. The most important person in my life is my mother, I'm not making any decision without my mom being okay with it. With that being said, we were the only school out of the five scheduled official visits that went to Greensboro, North Carolina to sit down with his mother. So I can't, like, the one thing that I've found in recruiting is you have to pay attention to the details. One of the most important questions we ask is, who's going to help you make this decision? And what does that person mean to you? What is it, your mom? Is it your dad? Is it your coach? Where do they stand in your life? And I think where I try to stand out is I don't leave any stones unturned. And it's not, I'm not, there's a lot of guys that do that. It's not something that I invented or created. I learned that that's the only way that I'm going to be successful. I don't have some name behind me. I didn't play in the NBA. I wasn't, you know, a big time college player. So I've got to work. And I just think if a kid tells you, hey, this is what I'm interested in, this is what I'm looking for, this is who you got to talk to, if you want any shot at all, you better do those things. And then I try to build genuine relationships to the point where when I lose a kid, it's tough, man. It hurts. I lost some in the fall last year, two of them that I really, really thought I was going to get. And it hurt. I mean, I'll never say the kid's name, but one kid called me on the phone and literally he was in tears. Like, he made a decision and it was a tough one for him. And the kid was in tears on the phone with me. And because we had built such a strong relationship that he had to make a real decision and he chose not to go with us. We had just gotten here. We hadn't proven anything to anybody. We hadn't bounced a basketball in an SEC game before. So I understood. I never, ever get mad at a kid for not choosing Alabama, but that hurt. But so I think the biggest thing is try to build genuine relationships. It's funny sometimes, you know, you build such good relationships with these guys. You go to play like a road game and a kid that you recruited really, really hard is on the other team. And, you know, you catch yourself talking to the kid for a minute because you built such a good, you know, we're on the phone four times, five times a week. So I think that's the biggest thing is identifying, you know, who and what's important to the kid, making sure that you do that and just outworking people. Social media messages or whatever the case may be, they don't want to sit and talk to you on the phone for 30 minutes. So the other adjustment is finding ways to keep them engaged. You know, like you're not going to call a kid and genuinely talk to him for 30 minutes about how his school day was, how his work day, I mean, how his workout was. They don't want to do that. So you've got to kind of find out, you got to get to their level. And I think that's one good thing Nate does is Nate does a good job of you know, kind of getting on their level and speaking their language as far as what interests them. And so I think that's one thing that we all are going to have to constantly evolve in. Outside of that, he's the most competitive person I've ever met in my life. He refuses to lose at anything. He hates it. I mean, and I think I think the most successful coaches have that quality. If you think of the guys that are most successful in any sport, and there's one right across the parking lot from me here, Coach Saban. I mean, you want to talk about a guy that doesn't like to lose. Just watch a press conference after Alabama loses a football game. Doesn't happen very often, but YouTube it. And Nate's very similar. And they've developed a good relationship because they've got a lot of the same qualities when it comes to Coach Saban. That guy, he wants to coach football. And Nate Oates wants to coach basketball 7 days a week. I mean, literally, if the NCAA didn't limit our hours, he would be in the gym with those guys every single day as much as he could. And you want to talk about sweat equity. If the NCAA didn't limit him, he would be in there hands-on with our guys. The last little story I'll tell you is my first year with him. This is when I knew he was different. He's the head coach. We scheduled Duke. We're playing a road game at Duke in Cameron. I think it's like the third, fourth game of the year, right? I'm fired up. We're playing Duke. So game's on ESPN and cameras are out there for pregame watching, you know, the whole, they're zooming in on the guys shooting jumpers and pregame warmups. Nate Oates is out there in his suit pants and his button down, rebounding for the guys and kicking out passes to our players. The head coach in pregame warmups at Duke in Cameron, 20 minutes before tip, is out there rebounding for our guys. And that's who he is. I think what makes him special is the fact that he was a math teacher in high school 6 years ago. He doesn't forget where he came from, and he's made it to here because he loves the game and he loves developing and helping these young men. And I think that's why he's had success.
What's up, podcast fans? I want to share some information about one of our partners, Lucio Sports. The team at Lucio has built an integrated platform of coaching productivity and player development apps that are being used by some of the best basketball programs around the globe, helping everyone from NBA champions to youth development academies. Their innovative and competitive memorization games make it so much easier for new players and staff members to remotely get caught up to speed. With animated playbooks, drill libraries, player development planning and monitoring, engaging game plans and scouting reports, predictive play drawing, their content services team, and more, Lucio Sports has got you covered. From players to coaches to support staff and executives, use Lucio Sports to securely keep everyone in your organization on the same page with simple on-demand access to your team's entire knowledge base. For more information, check out luciosports.com. That's LUCEO sports.com.